Today, we'll choose an EV for a viewer looking for an electric truck for work and camping, another viewer in Texas who wants the most analog EV possible, and a New York viewer who wants some version of the Tesla Model Y. Welcome to Battery Bargains, a weekly series from the Batteries Included podcast. This is episode number 33. I'm Dominic Yoni, and I am joined today by Martin Lee from the EV News Daily podcast, along with Tom Malogny, senior editor at Inside EVs and host of the YouTube channel State of Charge. Now, if you're looking for your own battery bargain, send us a one-minute video or an email with a couple of short paragraphs describing your use case and budget, and we'll see about featuring your case on an upcoming episode. All right, so let's kick this thing off with our first case for today. And to be transparent, we've edited these emails a bit for length and clarity. So are you guys ready to go car shopping?
Yeah.
All right. So our first email comes to us from Tristan, and he says, "Hey guys, I'm a huge fan. I follow and listen to all your stuff. I've been an EV enthusiast for a while and used to have a Chevrolet Volt, which was an incredible vehicle. I currently drive a Chevy Avalanche, which is an awesome vehicle and also has all the features that the new Silverado EV has, including the midgate. I was really hoping that the work truck version would have the folding midgate and come in under 60 grand. But alas, I'm really hoping to get the vehicle for under 50,000, 50 grand, with tax incentives and such. I'm planning to buy it in cash unless I can qualify for 0% interest. I started an all-electric lawn care company, so I would like to be able to tow at least 8,000 pounds if possible. I would prefer a 6-foot bed, but can make do with the 5.5-foot bed. We also camp and backpack, and we want to turn it into the ultimate camper rig with a pop-up camper, so I don't want the range to diminish too much. Side note, we are buying my wife a Hyundai Tucson plug-in hybrid. It really seems like an awesome vehicle, especially for longer trips when we're not going camping. Please keep up all the great work. If you guys help me find my next truck, or even if you end up selling me one of yours, I promise to pledge at least $50 a month to your podcast via Patreon. with appreciation and respect, Tristan." Well, I don't think we have a Patreon right now, but I don't know. Maybe we should get one. Yeah, I mean, viewers can always give us a tip through the Google ecosphere or through the YouTube ecosphere. But yeah, so electric trucks and Martin, what are you thinking here?
We get this a lot, don't we, on this podcast? We're saying, right, I want an electric truck now, and can it be as analogous to the trucks that I've either had or want to get? And the choice is really small at the moment. You mentioned Silverado EV, but not going to be cheap. And so you mentioned, we always talk about the Ford F-150 Lightning, which is just brilliant, and the Rivian R1T, which is also great. But from the top of my head, I don't know, because we don't speak in feet and things over here, how long the beds are. So obviously the F-150 Lightning is more of a work truck, and that frunk, if you're using your lawn care business, I guarantee you're going to be using that so much. And of course, you can power things with Ford Pro Power on board, so incredibly useful, and you go camping as well. But again, what specs do you want, and do you want to buy new or used, and you want to go out with cash and buy this, which there aren't always the best deals around unless you walk in and you want finance from dealers, because they can make a bit of money on the back end of those finance deals. But if you got, we always buy vehicles with cash over here, but we always buy used vehicles. And so your choice is pretty small at the moment, my friend.
Yeah. So this is basically looking, I don't know, what do you think, Tom? We're looking at Lightning, Rivians, and Silverado EVs. Those are basically the three electric pickup trucks out there, right now?
Yeah, and Lightning will be the only one that'll come close to their budget. Luckily, I've been just checking. I always keep an eye on the Lightning market, and the prices are coming down, and you can get a hell of a truck for maybe slightly above their budget. You talked about 50,000 or less. There's most of the vehicles that are in the high 40s or even 50, 51, somewhere around there. And I did some checking recently, have the standard battery pack. I don't think that's going to fit your needs Right. Unless you just use it for your landscaping business, your lawn service business. I mean, that, I don't know where you live. I don't know how big of a range you have. But even with a trailer, I don't think you're going to be trailering it like a 150, 200 miles during a day. So that would work for your business. Now, as far as camping and going far, the standard range Lightning probably wouldn't work for you. But there are some extended range ones out there that aren't too much above that. You know, I mean, my Lightning, if I were to get the exact same spec Lightning that I bought, it's over 80,000 now, 83,000, 84,000 new. Mm. You can get my same truck for like 60 or 57, 58, somewhere in that range. So if you could just stretch it a little bit higher, maybe get to the 55, 56 and keep looking online, you can get an extended range Lariat or XLT right in that wheelhouse there. And, you know, Martin talked about the length of the bed. The Lightning has a 5.5 foot bed, Martin, that he said that he can make work. So that would work. And it's a hell of a truck for 56,000. The funny thing is, if you notice at the end, they also wrote, or sell us one of your trucks.
Right, right, right.
So, you know, I mean, you know, Kyle has a pickup truck. I have a Lightning.
Right. But you just got back from driving the new R1T, right? The refreshed R1T, second gen. Yeah, not tempted? Yeah.
I'm not tempted. Okay. Be honest with you. I love it. Right. I think they made some super improvements, but right. Not really. Okay. Not really tempted. I'll tell you what tempted me. Recently, as I told you, I've been looking at different used Lightnings and stuff just to see where the market is. And there's a used Lightning. I think it's a scam video. So I sent them a scam ad. Like there's some scam ads on cars.com or whatever. So I sent him a email yesterday because it's too good to be true. It basically was a brand new Lightning that's been sitting on a lot somewhere. It's got like 50 miles. It's a Platinum with max tow package, all this stuff. It's a 90-something thousand-dollar vehicle. And they're asking like $65,000 for it. So, okay. So if that's for real, I would consider going with a handful of cash and showing up and being like, here, I'll give you this for it, you know, and just wave it back and forth and be like, this is all you'll get. And just drive home with a new Lightning and then have to tell my wife, oh, I bought another truck, but then sell my Lightning.
You're right. Yeah, right. Yeah, right.
So you know, I'd have a brand new Platinum, which is the higher trim. I have a Lariat, but I have to believe that this is a fake ad. It's a scammer ad, you know, where they're going to say, oh, yeah, send us the $5,000 deposit and we'll chip you the car or something like that. Nice. But it's so close to me where they said it was that if he does reply in my email, I'm going to say, okay, I'll drive over to check out the truck today and call their bluff. But we'll see. Anyway, So I might have a Lightning to sell you. but that's my recommendation. Lightning is going to be the only thing that works. A used F-150, either Lariat or XLT with extended range battery pack. It's a hell of a truck. The deals right now are ridiculous. I mean, these are trucks that, you know, just, you know, 15, 16 months ago, people were paying $30,000, $40,000 more for. And we're seeing so far that the Lightnings are holding. The batteries are holding up really well.
Yeah.
Some of the studies that have been done, like people are losing like almost no capacity over the first 2 years. So Ford's done a good job with their battery management system and how they hold the pack and reserve. And, you know, it's the Lightning batteries seem to be doing really well.
So here's the cheapest one. If you're watching this on YouTube, you can see I've brought this ad up on the screen. So it's a 2022 Ford F-150 Lightning Lariat with 10,000, almost 11,000 miles on it for just under 50,000. So looking around, I don't know.
That's probably standard pack though, Dom.
No, I looked at it's supposed to be a 300 mile one.
Oh,
like this. It's supposed to be. So this is like the best deal I could find on a Lariat, like an upper trim. But it has some pros with the 300 mile battery in there as well, 320 mile EPA range for the big battery and the Ford F-150 Lightning. But this is like one of the better Lariat deals. But there was a few just like in the low 50s. So I mean, I expect it's legit, you know. But if it's not, you wouldn't have to go too much higher to find the actual deal. So And then, in, like Tom was saying, this is the only electric pickup truck really in that price range. The right now, the Silverado EVs, they're starting at $70,000, the ones you can find online, you know. And so that's quite a bit more over budget. And also, like Rivians, looking at Rivians, you can go a little over budget, like $55,000, and you can find some, but they all have like 30,000 miles on them, like when the lower end of the Rivian market right now. So.
And an R1T won't be as good a work truck for him, Dom, right. as the Lightning will.
Right. It has a smaller bed, right? So this has like the nice 5.5-foot bed.
Smaller frunk, and it doesn't have all the outlets, because I'm sure he could use those, you know, working.
Oh, yeah. That's right. With the lawn care business, and yeah, he's got an Ego lawnmower. So when the battery runs down, you can just plug it into the... I guess you have to take it off, put the battery in a charger, and then plug that in. And then, 15, 20 minutes, you have your battery refreshed up again.
Just leave it in the frunk as you're driving in between,
Oh, yeah, that's true. Will it charge like that?
Yeah.
As you're going? Sweet. Oh, that's cool.
All I want to add is I presume that you have thought about the way that you run your business. I'm guessing you have, but your tax rules, I'd understand them totally different to ours. But over here... If that vehicle is a working vehicle and you use it through your business, then sometimes financing can make, because if you lease something, then 100% of the cost is reclaimable as a business expense. There's also our government, since the pandemic, have done some stuff with capital expenditure. You can claim the whole thing back, and they keep extending it to encourage business spending since the virus. But before then, certainly if you lease a computer, a printer, a monitor, a vehicle, that was all... The monthly fee was all kind of a write-off against your profits, so that you didn't pay tax on that. So again, I presume you've looked at that, but I know you want to go out and buy that vehicle with cash, and that's the way I buy cars personally. But I'm just making sure that you have thought about, if you are using this as a working vehicle through your lawn care business, however that's set up with an LLC or not, that there might be, maybe talk to an accountant, just like the most tax-efficient way of getting that vehicle. Use Lightning, though, great deal.
Good point. Very good point there, Martin. Yeah, because you're buying a vehicle. I like the idea of buying in cash, you know, but it makes sense for a lot of people to use actually credit and do it over time, pay a little extra, but there's other benefits as well. All right, so let's move on to our next vehicle. Our next email comes to us from Jordan. He says, "Hello, Battery Bargains. Love the show. Thanks for all your amazing work. My wife and I own a 2023 Model 3, Tesla Model 3, which is a great car and covers all of our road trip needs. I'm looking for a second EV for my 70-mile round-trip country road commute. I live in Texas, so cold weather is not a big issue. I love EV powertrains, but not into tech. If I could have my way, I'd still have hand-crank roll-up windows. Can you recommend the most analog EV out there for $20,000 or less? My wish list is fun to drive, manually adjusted seats, minimum to no touchscreen, cable-operated e-brake. You get the idea. Thanks, Jordan." Well, fun to drive, minimum, most analog ever possible.
1917 Detroit Electric.
Yeah.
that's pretty minimal. Yeah.
Go and borrow Jay Leno's.
That'd be awesome. Right. It's got actually, that one's slightly modernized. It's got at one point it had the battery pack from a Nissan Leaf installed in the Jay Leno's with wireless BMS, actually, which is pretty cool. Yeah. So Martin, do you have any other like what you can buy?
There's loads of choice here, but I've narrowed it down to the e-Golf, because I think that is a fun chassis to drive. The Golf is a great car and has been involved over eight generations. What is it?
A lot of generations, yeah.
Golf Mark 8. I think the Golf Mark 8 might be the latest. I don't know. I've stopped paying attention to combustion world. And so we've owned two Golfs in our time, one petrol, one diesel, and both were really fun to drive. Great. Look, the Golf is almost perfect in terms of the size of car that we needed, and I think the size of car that most people, it'll fit people in, it'll fit, put the back seats down, it'll do you a camping trip, it's small enough to get in parking spaces and get around cities. The Golf is just such a great vehicle, and the e-Golf was a very analog conversion at the time of the actual golf. So the touchscreen is not fantastic on the e-golf. The technology is not fantastic. I think it will probably have electric seats, not manually adjusted seats, but maybe get a base spec one. I know that the passenger seat is certainly manual. And I think it's a really great chassis. And it did the conversion to EV really well. There's a bunch of other stuff. I'm sure we'll have to talk about Bolts and Leafs. And actually, the Leaf is a fun vehicle to drive. And it's huge. Got a big old trunk on the Leaf. Now, look, the new Leaf, 2025 model year, there will be one, by the way, and then the next Leaf 26 model year will be the new Leaf, or maybe it won't be called Leaf, but there's still another model year Leaf coming out in America. It starts at $28,000, but I would get last year's a 2024 model year Leaf with like 5,000 miles on it. You can probably get one of those for $25,000, add the $4,000 or deduct the $4,000 federal tax credits, $21,000 car. Leaf is really fun to drive, and it has got CHAdeMO, so it's not great for road tripping, but you got a Tesla, and I like the Leaf. Lots of people really do the Leaf down. For whatever reason, the CHAdeMO thing, I don't know, but it'll handle, you know, even the 40 kilowatt hour battery is lighter, more nimble, handles better, and that has got an EPA of 140? Something like that. So that'll do your round trip, and you don't need CHAdeMO. You can just charge at home all the time. So that'd be my suggestions.
All right. Tom, I already know what Tom's going to say.
You might not.
Okay. Surprises.
So there are a lot of choices, as Martin said, but I was thinking first-gen Hyundai Ioniq electric.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah.
That's you know, low budget. Mm-hmm. I forget exactly how digital / analog it is.
I'm suspecting
it's not very digital.
Right? Yeah, no, you know,
it's been
at
a
all.
While since I've been in one, but you're talking about definitely under $20,000 and good range, quiet, simple, utilitarian. But there's other vehicles, Mini Cooper electric. You know, the like 2019, you can get them for under $20,000. And that's not very advanced. Somebody brought up the i3, which doesn't have power seats. You couldn't even get power seats on the top trim, which was crazy because it was like a, you know, $60,000 car that you couldn't get power seats. But BMW, their explanation was, you know, it's weight savings. You know, everything was to make the vehicle as efficient as possible. There's no touch screens either on the i3, all of those vehicles. But if you do get the i3, you want to get at least, they had three battery options, at least the middle one, which was 33 kilowatt hour. You don't want the 21 kilowatt hour battery pack. You want the 33 or the 42, which came later. But the 42 is probably going to end up costing you more than $20,000 because I think the prices are up a little bit higher on that. But the 33 kilowatt hour battery pack i3 BEV, you don't need a range extender. You don't need to mess around with that. It's only going to cause more problems, and for your use, it seems like you don't need more range than the 70 miles. Any of those vehicles would be great, but I still think my first suggestion, picking up a first gen Hyundai Ioniq, would fit your needs perfectly.
Interesting. I thought about the Ioniq myself, you know, but I wasn't sure, you know, how fun the driver is, you know, because I think it's a pretty low power vehicle. It's definitely pretty manual though inside there. I'm pretty sure, like, if you look at the interior picture of the interior screen, there might not be a screen in the cabin. I don't know. And as far as the Leaf, I don't know, Martin. I think I have to disagree with your characterization of the Leaf being fun to drive. I don't know. I haven't driven a whole lot of the Leaf, but my recollection was fun was not the word that came to mind when I got, you know, but you know, I guess some people might enjoy it. I don't know. Somebody in the comments mentioned the Caris TC2. That is, I'll just show you what that looks like. It's not a car that we can get here, and I'm pretty sure it's going to be over $20,000. But they are cool, like, cars. It's like they're basically handmade cars in Britain, in the UK, I guess, or over your way, Martin. Are you familiar?
I actually haven't heard of this, so that's brilliant.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, I remember they did a gas car, like a natural gas or whatever kind of version of this that I wrote about for Autoblog Green back in like 2010 or something. So they've been around for a while, just like, but, you know, very small. You know, England has all these little tiny manufacturers, right?
Yeah. Yeah. There's a nice little cottage industry in terms of automotive and electrification. It's interesting.
Right. So, so I looked at the Mini Cooper, and you know, there's a nice one. I could find a nice one with 2022 with 7,300 miles on it for under 20,000. And then you get your $4,000, you know, EV tax credit on that, which is a pretty good car. And also, like, the Volkswagen e-Golf. Let me show you what I found with that, actually, because that looks pretty good. I've never driven one, but actually, our colleague has one like that. So yeah, $18,000. It's only got 13,247 miles on it, but they're supposed to be pretty basic. You know, the interiors is a pretty old school. You know, it's like a normal, pretty normal seemingly car. It looks like it's got like a manual transmissions. I think it's just like the gear selector is like, looks manual style, but it's not a manual in those. That's a little different. Yeah, we don't really see, unless it's a homemade conversion, you don't really see manual transmissions in electric vehicles, right? Yeah. Then of course there's the BMW i3, which is what I would choose. Ultimately, that's would be my top suggestion, is the BMW i3. And I found a decent one here, a 2020 with the 120 amp hour battery. So is that the 33 kilowatt hour battery, Tom?
Yeah, that would be no. That would, 120 amp hour is the big battery, the 42 kilowatt hour battery pack.
Okay, right. So that's the thing. We tend to think about you know, battery packs as in kilowatt hours, but for whatever reason they talk about their cell sizes in terms of amp hours, which doesn't tell you the whole picture unless you know the voltage, right? And you can put those together and you get the kilowatt hours. But I said, anyway, yeah, this was, I thought, was a pretty great deal. The best one I could find, 26,000 miles for $20,000. Yeah, I'm liking it.
Yeah, that'll go well over 100 miles. I mean, you know, on the worst day, it'll do 100 miles.
So. And rear-wheel drive. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if it's like the most, like, manual-ish kind of car, really, but I think it's probably like the most fun to drive of all those, maybe. Although, I don't know.
Mini Cooper's close.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, okay. The Mini Cooper's close.
Yeah.
Driving dynamics.
If you like front-wheel drive, rear-wheel drive.
It's fun. Yeah. The Cooper's fun.
It's really good.
Yeah.
And then the Volkswagen Golf, e-Golf, you know, that's like, I think that's probably right up in there, too, I expect, like, I haven't driven that, but you have, Martin, right? At least the gas version.
I like it. But right. Also the Mini as well. We had a Mini, and it's so much fun. It just makes me made me smile when I would drive it. So
yeah.
That's a great chassis.
Right on. All right. So let's get on to our final email, I guess. And that comes to us from John. This one shouldn't take too long. We'll try to wrap this up at bottom of the hour. So good evening. I recently discovered the podcast and have been watching most every episode on YouTube. Appreciate the content. I have an ICE car now. Lease ends in a few months. I do not currently have a home charging option, but I'm now leaning towards an EV. I live in Staten Island, New York, where we have one supercharger open with another coming very soon, which are close enough that it would not be a major hassle. Plus, for my visits to the office a few times a month, there are numerous supercharger sites along the way. So clearly, I am leaning Tesla. I had figured Model Y long range because without home charging, I would think I'd want to a bit more battery. Plus, being in the Northeast where sometimes it snows, I figure all-wheel drive would be good to have. Am I crazy? Yes, you are crazy. Or am I better off getting the rural drive and saving a few bucks? Expect to travel around 150 to 200 miles per week, so I am hoping for a single supercharger stop per week in most cases. Sometimes I travel to a client which will make me drive 100 to 50 to 200 in a day, so those will require more charging, but that's less frequent. Thanks in advance, John. All right. So that's looks like he's got his mind made up really there, Martin. Do you feel like dissuading him?
Or? No, not at all. If okay. you want a Model Y, go get a Model Y. There are some great deals out there at the minute on Genesis GV60, okay. which is also a very good comparable car. It's about a $53,000 car, but they'll do you a finance deal about $380, $390 with $6,000 down. Works at about $510 to lease that over 3 years. If you average it out, the GV70 from Genesis is about a $70,000 vehicle, and yet that's only $4,000 down over 3 years. If you average it out, it's about the same price as a GV60. They've got some crazy deals on GV70s. Go and have a look at those. I love the Genesis vehicles. They're doing really well. Sold more EVs in the US last year than Lucid sold EVs. So they're doing really well. Genesis is on a roll. But if you've made up your mind, and it's all-wheel drive, the GV70. Anyway, if you want a Model Y, go buy a Model Y. It's such a brilliant vehicle. Do you need all-wheel drive? Only you know that with the weather that you get. My Polestar's all-wheel drive is pointless having it here. It snows 3 days of the year. Absolutely doesn't matter. But if you are going to go buy a Model Y, you can only get the long range version, you know, where you are. If you want to maximize the mileage, then go rear wheel drive. And you absolutely can get some great deals on Teslas at the end of the quarter. Model 3 right now has got about 2% interest on it for finance deals. That's Model 3. Model Y has a higher interest rate on it. But look, this is the
lease price. Gotta flip that little switch here, that little blue button.
So include the gas savings. I don't like that, but anyway. Yeah. But look, that's $399 a month, and that is $3,000 down over 3 years. 10,000 miles a year. You might exceed that with your mileage. But $400 a month for the rear wheel drive, or $429 for the all wheel drive. So you will know whether $30 a month is worth it to have the all wheel drive. Do you notice the extra 2 seconds, 0 to 60 between? I'll flick between the two, between them. Yeah, I don't know. I think all EVs are fast enough. All EVs will put a smile on your face. You'll make a great choice with the Model Y. If you could get standard range Model Y where you are, 100%, I'll tell you, go long range. Because if you haven't got that home charging to always leave the house with, 80% or whatever, then you want all the range you can get. And in that case, it's going to be a Tesla. And in that case, it's going to be a long range version. Go buy this. It's brilliant.
David Lutz says, I heard Flo has curbside charging options in New York City. Not sure if any on Staten Island, but it seems like the best option would be a Fed for majority of the short trips they make. Tom, what do you think?
I think Flo is going to start installing. They may have a couple, but probably not in Staten Island yet.
Right.
I know Staten Island very well. I have friends that live there. I have family. My uncle lives in Staten Island. I've been there many times. He's right. There's really very little charging options on Staten Island. As far as the all-wheel drive versus rear-wheel drive, I don't think that that's really a big issue. We don't get a lot of snow here. It depends. Do you drive up to Vermont in the winters? Are you going to go north? If you really don't, if you don't have a destination that you're frequently going to go north of where you live in Staten Island, you realize, look at the last 3 or 4 years, we've had very, very few snowstorms and the roads are clear in a day or so. So honestly, it seems like since you've settled on a Y, and I'm not going to try to convince you not to get a Y. It's a great deal for what you get with that vehicle. You can't beat it price-wise, in my opinion. And plus, you have the supercharging options right near your house, and you're going to need that because you can't charge at home. But I wouldn't dissuade you from going rear-wheel drive and just get a good set of winter tires. Mm-hmm. And in the winter, in December, do the swap. That's what I do here. And in March, I take them off. And you have that second set of tires. And let me tell you, a Model Y with a good set of winter, dedicated winter tires is going to be nearly as good as an all-wheel drive Y with all-season tires. Right. As long as you know how to drive, you'll be fine with that. And again, it depends. Do you go skiing in the winter? Do you make 4 or 5 trips up to Vermont or New Hampshire or something, then it might be worth getting the all-wheel drive because it gets a little hairy up there. They have more icy, constant ice on some of the roads. And even though they plow, the roads will be slippery. Here in our area here in New York, New Jersey, a day or two after the snowstorm, the roads are clear. So you don't really have to stress on that, I think. And that would be my suggestion. Depending on what you drive, stick with the Y. I would tell you to really consider the rear-wheel drive and just put nice winter tires on it.
Good shout. Right. And look at that, 37060 after tax credit. I mean, that's just, that is so much EV technology. And, and over-the-air updates. And this is the long-range rear-wheel drive, 800 miles on the clock, X-Demo, in inventory, 37060 after tax credit. Holy moly. Now, I would say, by the way, now, what was your, let me go back a page and let me go back to your email. Did you say that you're buying it now?
A couple months.
All right, okay. Yeah. So don't buy it now because so buy it at the end of Q3.
At the end of June, basically. No.
End of September. If you are, if it's a few months' time, order it sometime between week two and the end, and make sure your finance is all ready to go and you can take delivery by the end of September, because that is when you get the best Tesla deals, because they're governed by stock price. That means hitting good delivery and production numbers, and they are at the minute producing more than they can sell. And so the last 2 weeks, the last month, you get some deals. Look, over here in the UK, they just added 15,000 free supercharger miles to a new Tesla. That is, free supercharging is back, baby. Not had that since the Model S, Model X in 2020, or maybe, no, 2018. So, listen, 15,000 miles, it's not grandfathered in, etc. But that's a stellar deal. And it just came on the market. Now, I prefer they did, you know, 0% finance or something ridiculous, because that is obviously a hard cost to that business to acquire that finance and then pass it on to you. But still, 15,000 supercharger miles just to shift stock in the last 2 weeks of the quarter. So please don't buy a Tesla apart from in the last 2 weeks of a quarter. That's when you get the deals. And make sure that your finance is done, dusted, ready to go. You can take delivery by 30th of the month.
Right on.
Well, Mark, we are, we are in the last 2 weeks of a quarter right now. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It starts in 2 days.
It's a great it's a great time to buy.
Yeah. Just a real quick, that Carice car I showed earlier, buddy tells us it's actually a Dutch brand. It's little company that makes that. And Dave also asked me if I would recommend the Spark EV for a commuter vehicle. I mean, if your commute is like 50 miles or less and you get a good price, I would love to have another Spark here for just running around town. I kind of miss it, you know. I thought it was a lot of fun to drive. It's like a, you know, small car. If you like small cars, it's not super robust. You know, the feels like it's going to dent if you lean up against the car, but you just got all kinds of like 300 pound feet of torque, or whatever. And it's pretty nippy in the city for sure. But for this Tesla Model Y thing, I'm with you. I think. The rear-wheel drive, just save the $3,000. It's like $37,490 after tax credit, or maybe slightly cheaper if you get an inventory car. A little bit slower if you have to have a, you know, it's a little bit of speed. If you like that speed, you know, $3,000, that's still a decent deal, you know. And then you got all-wheel drive, just go where ability, go anywhere ability, and all that kind of stuff. And it's only a 12-mile range hit, right, on the EPA. So it's not really a big range difference, really. But that's a great show. I mean, even with one supercharger over there, you should be able to charge it maybe once every 2 weeks if you're only traveling like a couple hundred miles a week, and depending on, you know, you could go a week and a half without charging. So, and then you spend like an hour or 45 minutes at the charger to get it up to 80 from a super low state.
Yeah, and look out for destination charging and convenience. I saw some research today. People are 66% more likely to shop at a certain convenience store or supermarket if they have AC destination charging there. So more places are going to be putting them in. I don't know your local situation, but look out for stuff like that, because remember, EV charging is grazing. It doesn't have to be like filling up with gas. Right. So, you know, you can go to the cinema, you know, with your partner, have a date night, and then for a couple of hours they might have charging there. Plug it in, have a little sip of juice here, sip there. It's a total mindset change. If you can't charge at home, you've got to look to grazing charging where you can.
Right. All right. Well, I think that kind of brings us to the end of our show. We'll wrap it up, put a bow on it. So if you have any questions or comments, please leave them below or get in touch with us on the social media platform of your choice. Don't forget, if you like the show, please give us a thumbs up. Don't forget, if you didn't like the show, please give us a thumbs up. Click subscribe, tap that bell icon for notifications. Thank you all very much for joining us, and we'll see you all again next time. Ciao.